The text for our sermon this morning is from the gospel reading, and also in particular, I want us to keep one of the psalm verses in mind, but John the Baptist calling people out to the wilderness, out to the Jordan River, out away from the cities to be baptized. Baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, Luke tells us. In particular, when he quotes from the words of Isaiah, Luke, telling us that John is the one, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall become straight, the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And also this, from Psalm 66, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, John the Baptist tells those coming out to him to bear fruits of repentance. So we'll talk about how fruit grows best in the wilderness. For an entire generation during the Vietnam War era, whenever somebody said, "I'm going into the jungle," it meant something particular. It gave the idea of formative years of a young man's life where he faced amazing difficulties, saw the horrible results of war, but yet also built incredible camaraderie with his fellow man. "I'm going to the jungle." For my generation, whenever somebody said, "I'm going to the desert," it also carried that same connotation. Years of formation, and a very important time in a soldier's life. For God's people, it was, "We're going into the wilderness." The wilderness was a place of significant life-changing realities. Not only being in the wilderness did it carry with it life-changing realities, not only historically as God's people wandered in the wilderness, but also prophetically, that this story of God's people wandering through the wilderness is meant for our instruction, for teaching us. And during Advent, this lesson comes to the forefront. "I'm neither a farmer nor the son of a farmer. However, I do know that when you're hiking in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of a jungle, when you find a luscious and productive tree, a bush covered in some of the best fruit you could possibly imagine, it's almost like a miracle. It's something you don't expect. If you're walking through the wilderness and you find apple trees growing in a perfect row, the perfect distance from each other, or peach tree growing wild, if you find it with fruit, it's remarkable. You stop and you notice. But you know as much as I that that's not always the case. That the wilderness, the desert, the jungle, these are places that it's almost like our world is cursed. If you want fruit, if you want produce, you have to work. You have to prepare. You have to clear wilderness to make it comfortable for trees, vines, and bushes to produce in mass. Going to the desert, going to the wilderness, going to the jungle, if you want to survive, you better take sustenance with you. You better be prepared. God is always preparing His people. He never leaves you without ground support. He never leaves you with no orchards or vines to find His mercy blossoming and growing in the fullness of His love and joy for us. He never keeps you from gleaning in His well-manicured fields that have been covered in the blood of His Son, Jesus. He never leaves you to trudge through a jungle without a path. The people of God may be led through the desert, but God is bringing us to forsake ourselves, to find sustenance in His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we, by the Holy Spirit, may produce fruits of repentance. Because, believe it or not, fruit does grow best in the wilderness. First consider our condition as sinful people. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, they were first not just in a garden, but they were in the garden. It was built by God. And Genesis says there were four rivers. And that's an Old Testament way of saying the garden had everything the whole world needed. And all life came from the garden because God built it. It was the place of provision. It was manicured. The fruit was perfect. The trees perfect. Not one branch was barren. There was not one bush of blueberries that was not full of juicy goodness. All of it, a gift of God. There were vines of big, full, robust blackberries and not a thorn in sight. But we know the story. We know what mankind did to bring sin into the world. Sin now has even cursed the dirt on which you stand. Even the trees and the bushes. Thorns are a reminder of this and a result of sin. Now, it might seem odd that God would kick them out of the garden. You would think God wants His prized possession. He wants mankind to remain in the garden so that He could have the best things, so that He would see the kindness of God and be thankful and believe in God to be merciful. But what is usually the case when we are given an abundance of blessings? What is usually the case with sinful people? How do they react when they are given plenty and fullness? They begin to worship the blessings rather than the giver. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. And we see now, as we are all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, when children are given every desire of their heart, when they are never told no, what kind of people do they become? Spoiled. Rotten, ungrateful, unfaithful. We may wish that the fruits of repentance grew best in the land of plenty. We may hope and wish and desire from our sinful flesh that the promised land produces fruits of repentance. But unfortunately, sin has so cursed us that having the best causes us to be the worst. Jesus said it like this: it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Today in our reading, Luke points this lesson out using Isaiah. Isaiah, who speaks of the land as a picture of repentance, that there is a great distance between us and God, that sin is a valley. The 23rd Psalm says, a valley of the shadow of death. Hills and mountains, rough places, Isaiah says, all of these geographical descriptions paint a picture of our sin and our darkness in life. Discouragement, unthankfulness for the life that God has given you. Valleys of sadness, and ungratefulness. Or the hills, where we build ourselves up, where we feed ourselves on pride, and we see ourselves as number one. Valleys and hills of sin. Where our pride teaches us to think that we are right and we will fight and defend ourselves against anyone who attacks our place on the hill. These are the sins that distance us from God and also from one another. The rough places, the crooked paths, this is our daily walk in life. How we go about living our lives daily, arguing with one another, losing our temper, losing our patience. This is not the path to righteousness. This is not a path that leads you to fruitfulness. And this is why God sent John the Baptist and all the prophets before him. This is why we still hear God's word today to call us to the wilderness. To show us our sins as painful and as hard as it might be so that we would repent. And remember, repentance is not just sorrow for sin in the past, but also repentance believes that there is a future of mercy and goodness of God that enables you to get better. It's just that it's usually when life is hard. It's usually when we are in the wilderness that we begin to see this truth. To see how sinful we are. To see our need for God. Because it's when our crosses are heavy, when our bodies are unhealthy, when death looms, it is these wilderness that we finally call out to the Lord, God, save me. In the wilderness, the fruits of repentance grow best. John the Baptist did this literally. He lived outside the city. He lived in the wilderness. He was calling all to come out to the Jordan in repentance, recognizing they needed to leave behind the comforts of life and to be given mercy. They needed to receive the benefits of baptism. For God had not left His people, and He will never leave you. Even though we would rather be in the cities of unrighteousness where we find comfort, He called the people out to the Jordan, and He calls you. Daily, He calls you to remember your baptism, that you've been put to death with Christ, so that all your sins and unrighteousness be washed away, and you may walk along the straight paths of righteousness and faith and trusting in God's mercy. Even though we might lament having to go into the wilderness, and many times it comes when we least expect it. Even though we would rather be in the comfortable cities, God still sends His word. Sometimes we hear it, we repent, and the fruit grows. But other times it takes a complete bottoming out. But God's goal is still the same. That all would repent and believe in the gospel. And God knows that fruit grows best in His wilderness. And things have not changed. God still calls us to go out to the wilderness because that's where the fruit grows the best. God calls you to the wilderness, not literally, although as an outdoorsy person, I highly recommend it. But God calls you to go to the wilderness as a constant reminder of repentance. That we are not to be too comfortable in this life. We are called by God to first recognize our sin It makes us not fit for His kingdom. But we also, at the same time, recognize that He's rescued us from the darkness of the wilderness. That just when we think we're alone, it turns out that He is there. And He always has been. He has sought us out to bring us into His eternal kingdom. That Jesus Christ, even Himself, came out to John at the Jordan River to begin His journey in the wilderness of our sin. Jesus anointed and labeled as the Holy Spirit descended on Him, and then He goes into the literal wilderness to be tempted, to be successful where we and all of people have failed. Jesus Christ succeeded. God's mercy is that He didn't stay in His heavenly kingdom, in the city of God, but in Christ Jesus, God came to be with us. To be with you in all your crosses, all the heaviness and difficulty that sin has brought into this world and we ourselves bring upon ourselves, Christ Jesus takes it all on His shoulders on the cross. And from that tree, we're promised the land of plenty. Jesus went into the wilderness not because He had sin. Jesus went out to the Jordan not because He had sin, but because we do. Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus came in the wilderness because it is when God is leading us in repentance that we usually balk at it. We usually don't want to go, but Jesus walked the crooked paths. He journeyed through the rough places. He suffered and never doubted His Father's love. By His death on the cross, Jesus has taken away your sin. By His life, He has sanctified your life and taken away all your doubts so that as the Father sees you, He sees you as a forgiven child. The cross is the tree. The tree that gives perfect fruit in the wilderness. It is the orchard found in the middle of a jungle. It's the watering hole in the desert. It is all of these, not built by man, but by God Himself. Like finding the perfectly manicured orchard in the middle of the Amazon. And from that cross, there is always fruit for you. From that cross, there are the fruits of the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation in the body and blood of Jesus, the fruit of His labor, the fruit that feeds you eternal life, the fruit that strengthens your faith, the fruit that produces in you the fruits of repentance. And remember, it wasn't just going out to the desert, just going out to the Jordan for these people that John was calling. It was a call to repentance. It was always the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God being preached and faith and trust and mercy being given by the grace of God. It is always the grace of God giving faith and confidence. And so then we are not afraid to ask the same question, the soldiers, the tax collectors, all those who came to John, we are not afraid to ask that question, what must we do? When John instructs them to bear fruits of repentance, he commands that same thing to us. What must we do? You must go to the wilderness because that's where the fruit grows. This is why anything concerning God's Word, why coming to church, why attending Bible study and serving others is rarely convenient. This is why attending Sunday school and having devotion and prayer at home with your whole family is never easy. It is going into the wilderness. God is calling you to the wilderness because that's where the fruit grows the best. John teaches us when he answers the question for these people who ask them, John says, be faithful in where God has called you. He didn't tell the soldier nor the tax collectors to quit their jobs and go do something extra special. No, he said, you are already holy now by the word of God. Now go and serve where God has called you. And notice that God's people are in places of service for others. And remember, as you walk the path of your life, that fruit grows best in the wilderness, because it is where that tree is giving you the fruits of righteousness. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.